You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Cap News for Friday, the 13th of June, 2025. Yeah, Friday the 13th. I just realised now. I looked at the old watch there. Sorry this is a bit late. I've been spending ages on spreadsheets this morning. I often get excited when there's a lack of news on a Friday. It tends to be the case. Recently, there seems to be no brokers, no companies are working, or no significant news comes out on a Friday. How is that? If you land a contract and it's significant to the share price, you've got to release it, haven't you? But it seems none of that happens on a Monday or Friday, increasingly. It's only on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which is odd. Anyway, let's. I don't know if you hear the noise in the background in my office. It's very hot, and my wife bought some of these. In the Aldi special aisle section, bought some of these little air coolers. You fill them up with water, and you can also put ice blocks in them. You know the blocks you get in when you go camping. Those little blue sort of plastic things. You fill them with water and freeze them. Put them in the top. Put water in as well, and it's supposed to be like an air conditioner unit. It's supposed to be bending the fan. Of course, I was trying to explain to my wife the physics of fans. And I think this is correct. So fans don't cool the room. They actually warm the room because the motor warms up. But what they do is cool the moisture on your body. And I explained this to my son. I said, it's like coming out of a swimming pool when you're abroad. You feel quite cold because any wind, you know, attaches to the moisture molecules in your body and cools you down. But someone who's dry is very hot. Now, the fan will do the same. There's always moisture coming out of your body. And so the wind from the fan cools down that moisture on your body. The difference with air conditioning is that it cools this moisture in the cooling system and it blows out cool air as opposed to yourself. So that's the way it works. So anyway, they're only £40. I don't know if they work or not, but we'll see. It's a bit of a gloomy market today, isn't it? Everything's selling off. Global oil prices soar after Israel attacks Iran. And Brent crude, it was up like 10%. What's it at the moment? Let's have a look. It's up 8%. $73.75. And everything is selling off. Doesn't make any mistake. Gold is also up. But yet you've got companies like Ramsden's, for example, have done very well with gold. They're going to probably beat expectations again soon. Now the gold price is going to stay high. That's down at only a small, half of 1%. But also companies like Concurrent Technologies, which is, I hold that in the Macrocap League Fund. It's done very well, up 60-odd percent on that. But that's down like 4% a day. But they supply, defence companies. So there's a random sell-off. Maybe people are just scared. The market's going on, just selling off randomly. The thing is, the point of holding defence stocks is they do well when there's increased worry. And there's increased fear globally, so it doesn't make any sense. The sell-off today, just a bit odd. Maybe people are just, a bit of a rally. Oh, just sell, quick. And Synectics, who are in, security for oil and gas companies as well, for, CCTV and all that stuff, that's down 4%. So it doesn't make any sense. Other bits of macro news before I get to the micro. Badenoch, can be Badenoch. Is it Badenoch or Badenoch? You say tomato, I say onion, you say onion. but she's calling to an end to the oil and gas windfall. Do you know what? Of course we're transitioning. The problem with transitioning is it seems like we just switched off our oil and gas reserves, which is not a transition, is it really? You know? And you windfall tax on oil and gas companies. I think, well we should use our resources, because otherwise we still have to buy them from somewhere else and ship them across, or whatever you do with them, getting gas to this country, or oil, maybe through a pipeline, is it? But, I mean, it's still, you know, that's not carbon-friendly, is it? You're better off just, you know, just drilling your resources until you can't drill anymore. But anyway, responding to Badenoch, Simon Francis of the End Fuel Poverty Coalition said, even with the windfall tax in place, the energy industry made over $115 billion in profits in 2024 alone. So what? Why do people think from the left who work for, you know, don't work for businesses, they work for the government or whoever they are, think that profit is an ugly word? Profit is not. It's a beautiful word. It shows, you know, your company's efficient. You're making money above your costs. And with that profit, you reinvest. Whatever you do, if you're listed, you can pay dividends or you can hire more people. It's good for the economy if companies are making profits. You know, more people employed, more people can spend money, more taxes paid. Why do people see profit as an ugly word? It's not, it's great. It's fantastic. You can't get better than profit. There are plenty of companies out there making a loss. What do you want? Just remove all the profits, yeah? And so, at the end of the day, they don't employ any more people. They don't pay any tax. It's just ridiculous. My entire being as an investor at the moment is searching for profitable companies that are increasing their profits. They're becoming, you know, the sales are going up. Their margins are staying the same or getting better or becoming more efficient because they can scale. Profit, we need profit, you dimwit. Well, they're earning lots of profit, right? That's great. It's not bad. What if I've done something? It's just insane, isn't it? It's an upside down world. It's been living.
Profit, it shouldn't be in profit. No, no. I work for non-profit. Boo, do you well done.
But you know what? Our economy would slump if every company was a non-profit or loss-making. So you need to make profits. It's the only way you grow the economy, help people. If you want to get out of poverty, you need companies making a profit, full stop. Dimwit. Okay, and finally, Bank of England to keep rates steady despite slower job market. This is another thing that drives me insane. The Bank of England. They just look at backward figures all the time. I'm thinking,
things have gone up. What graph is showing for the last 3 months, things have gone down.
But what's going to happen? Do you honestly think we're going to be in a strong environment going forward with the way the globe? We are, if you look at the last set of job figures, apparently Reeves has lost, I say Reeves, it is Reeves, it's down to her policies, have lost 250,000 people. Since the autumn budget, GDP is going down. They'll soon realise that the economy is slowing and they'll have to start ratcheting up. I don't mind how they do it. Sooner or later, they'll have to reduce interest rates, full stop. Because they'll see that any sort of price inflation is being whittled away and it's not demand-led, it's supply. Anyway, this is a poll of economists. They're not often right, though. But they are on the interest rates, actually. I often wonder if they get the inside track on this. If someone gives them, you know, listen, next meeting we could keep them flat, yeah? Let's just get everyone polled to say keep them flat so everyone can expect. It's not a surprise. People can get angry. But I'm getting angry because, again, they're dimwits. All 60 economists polled by Reuters expect the Bank of England to keep interest rates on hold at 4.25% this month, and almost all expect the next quarter point rate cut to come in August. A large majority is seeing a further quarter point reduction to 3.75% in the final 3 months of this year. Oh, there we go. Okay, let's have a look at the macro. There's nothing out today. So what I'm going to do on Wednesday, when I did the webinar and I didn't do a podcast, so I do obviously the live weekly webinar, the Sharepickers Investment Club. If you want to take part in that, by all means, join the club. Less than 3 quid a week. And hopefully it's worth 10 times that in learning. That's the thing, see. Learning is development, self-improvement. And it's by increment, isn't it? If you try and learn a little bit every day, imagine you learn something new every day. Oh, learn something new every day. You do, but the quality of that learning, I mean, you know when people say that, oh, you learn something new every day. Well, yeah. I learned a day that, you know, June, was it the 13th, 2025, was the 13th of Friday, Friday the 13th. I learned that. But what use is that, really? It's not a lot. So I'm sort of quality learning. And it's an investment in yourself. So if you want to spend that, by all means, you know, go to me. If you buy the book, then you can get 25% off. So by all means, try that. Just search on Amazon for How to Become a Microcap Millionaire, a three-step strategy for stock market success, or just go to the website, sharepickers.com, and read the About section about the Sharepickers and also the book. Just click on that at the top of the page, sharepickers.com. Okay, let's go to the database then. On the website, of course, I put companies on the database. These are microcap companies that are commercial, I mean, generating revenue, but they don't have to be profitable. I cover any company pretty much that's generating revenue to see if they are good enough to be in the microcap league. And that means they have to be profitable. And to be displayed in that league, they have to score highly on 15 different metrics. And as yet, the company's doing well there. On the metrics, have done very well on the stock market. Sorry, I just had to go pull my dog out from the sun. I put the air conditioning unit on her now, so she's sitting there in her bed. And we missed the groomers. A couple of weeks back, we missed the groomers. It was my wife had a diary and didn't know the time, so we missed it. So now she's really furry and hairy, and it's quite warm, so I'll keep it cool. Anyway, I'm pretending to go off piece here. So I'll take a few from Wednesday as well. So first and foremost, strip tinnings. Now, they are a 3.4 million market cap, 8 million enterprise value. Yes, they've got a bit of debt, 5 million in debt, pretty much. They manufacture specialist flexible electrical connectors related to heating and antennae systems embedded within the automotive glazing and to the connection of the cells within EVs. So EVs and all that stuff, so you would think it'd be doing well, but sadly not. In fact, let's look at my comments here. So 2024 results versus 23 deteriorated on all metrics. Revenue dropped 17% to 9 million. Loss before tax increased 182% to 4.87 million. Net debt increased to 4.63 million. And free cash outflow worsened by 509% to 3.95 million. The company says, battery technologies division well positioned for growth acceleration with an increasing order book and strong pipeline, with divisional revenue for 2025 expected to be more than 2.5 times 24. Yeah, trouble is, the battery technology division only made up 1 million of the 9 million total revenues. Okay, there's 2.5 next year. They also require more cash. So they're a net debt of 4.36 million against a market cap of 3.4. Forecasts, even on adjusted figures, are suggesting STG to be loss-making until 2027. They will need a lot more cash to get there. It's a capital-intensive loss-making nanocap with 2024 figures going in the wrong direction and forecast losses until 2027. So I'd say for now, avoid. There's only one today, and that was that. Strip tinnings, STG's ticker there. So what did I miss? Was it on... it was on Wednesday, wasn't it? 11th. So Caffins, C-A-F-N is ticker. They sell new and used vehicles. They've got a car dealership across the southeast of England. And what did they release? Was it... annual financial report there. I couldn't find any broker... coverage here, but the results, they were an improvement on 2024's. Okay, revenue increased 5%. They achieved a profit before tax of 246k. Well, that's the market cap here. Market cap is 12 million, enterprise value 20. So they've got about 12 million of debt, 3.7 million of cash. So net debt reduced to 8.5 million versus 11.3, and they generated free cash inflow of 3.5 million versus outflow of 2.2. However, they do state conditions in the early part of the current financial year have remained challenging, with inflationary pressures and high interest rates continue to impact on our cost base and our customers' confidence levels. They've got net debt of 8.5 million, pension deficit of 4.5 million. Having said that, they do have freehold property, which they say, in accordance with our accounting policies, this surplus of 11.2 million has not been met. So the valuation of freehold properties was 11.2 million, is not accounted for. Fundamentals should improve with interest rates coming down, which in turn should improve consumer sentiment. Sorry, I'm really hot and sweating here now. Although this is still an illiquid nanocap with small profits, questionable visibility and net debt pension deficit. Fundamentals should improve as interest rates come down. But it's still an illiquid nanocap with small profits, questionable visibility, net debt and a pension deficit. So I'd say it may recover, rally on hope, but on sentiment coming down, but it's not a particularly strong business model. What else is there? Frontier Developments. This is quite confusing sometimes. There's two brokers on this, and they give varying degrees of profitability over the next few years. So they came out with, what was it? Full year update, the notice of trading update, sorry. That's what it was. So what do they do? They're a leading independent developer and publisher of video games founded in 1994. They are a market cap of 113 million, enterprise value of 84 million. So they've got 29 million of cash. Pretty much run with that. In fact, at the 30th of November, they had 27 million of cash. So, strong balance sheet. They said in their update, strong results and increased momentum, although revenue is 90.6 million, is still expected to be largely flat on last year's 89.3. However, Frontier's creative management simulation games will see revenue growing 25% year on year. Adjusted EBITDA is expected to be 8 million to 9 million versus 0.9 million last year. It was achieved through higher revenue, a higher gross margin percentage, a lower operating cost base, and a 3.5 million gain on the sale of the publishing rights of a Foundry game, which is Stranded: Alien Dawn. So cash has grown nicely. Now, they're definitely improving because they've, like all video games companies, they've had a hard year after the COVID years. It was a boom for them, for everyone, wasn't it, in that area? And then, of course, it was a glut, basically. Too many in the market. People were interested in gaming. But they have growth in profit for 2025, but it's been flattered by tax rebates. 2026 is more of a normalised year. Well, tax rebates and the sale of a game. Worth looking, though, because they're going to release Jurassic World Evolution 3 this year in October. Even though the actual film is out in July, they should have timed that better, shouldn't they? But last time, JWE1, Jurassic World Evolution 1, generated 71.5 million, and JWE2 generated 67 million. So they're not fully reflected in the consensus. But looking forward, they're expecting to do 19 million in revenue and 14.9 million of net profit. This drops, though, in 26 to 6.1 million, but revenue goes up. So, like I said, they've been flattered by tax rebate and a sale of a game. So, on 2025 figures, they're like a PE of 8. But then you go to 26 figures, and that PE shoots up to 18. So be careful, because the results come out for 25, and don't look at them and think, wow, they're amazing, I'm going to jump in, because 2026 isn't going to be as good, unless Jurassic World 3 blows you out of the water. Anything else? 10 Lifestyle. 10 wins contract in Japan. Now, they are a... They partner with global and financial institutions and other premium brands to attract and retain wealthy and mass affluent customers. So it's like a concierge service, you know? If you're well enough off, they can get you stuff for like tickets for Wimbledon and all that stuff. I mean, you have to pay for them, but they can get you them and you pay for that, right? And they sort of partner with banks and all that stuff who approach. So, for example, with Barclays, if you're a premier customer, I think you've got to have like, is it 100 grand? Or more in their accounts. That's net. Of course, then you get offered certain tickets to Wimbledon and stuff like that. But the banks pay 10 for this. Okay, market cap, 60 million. Enterprise value, 56. They announced this is a medium contract. A medium contract range between 250k and 2 million. But looking forward, let's have a look. Let's have their results for 2020. Yeah, they had results out recently, interim results, for 28th of February. Revenue up by 2% to 34 million. Profit before tax up 333% to 1.13. They got cash of 6.8. But they're on a forecast PE for next year of 17. Top line growth is about 8%. So it's not compelling, but they're showing more improvement for 26. So 73 million top line up from 68. That's 7% growth. And profit before tax expected to grow by 42%. And that would put them a PE of 12. In fact, profit before tax for this year is supposed to be 3.5 million. That's 25 versus 1 million. So what's the chart like on this? So decent balance sheet. Seem to be improving. TENG is ticker. It's bounced to the bottom. They're at 40 pence, and it has come up to 60 pence. But we're now in a sort of range, and the range has been 55 and 65 pence, pretty much. But maybe worth a watch. It is eligible for the Market Cap League, but the growth isn't good enough to get on the top 30, I don't think. I've not seen it on there for a while. What else is there? Anything else? Anything else? Oh, yeah, Windar Photonics. Update on expectations. This was an odd one. In fact, it wasn't that odd because they say they'd received a payment in early January, but it did not meet the requirement under IAS to be recognised in 2024. So what do they do? A technology group that has developed its WindEye and WindTomizer LiDAR wind sensors and its related Nexus software suite. Essentially, these bits of tech they put on these, what they're called windmills, wind farms, the kit for that. And it optimizes the spin, and so it saves on maintenance and all that stuff, and you get reports back via. So they're doing the hardware and the software as well as a recurring revenue. So it's quite good. And of course, you can imagine if you can save a couple of years, 3, 4, 5 years on replacing one of these, windmills, then it'll. What are they called? Windmills? Wind farms? Wind power things, whatever they are, then it saves a lot of money. They've got an enterprise value of 49 million. It's quite expensive, though. Enterprise value 50. When you take into account, for the half year they did 1.9 million in revenue, up 71%, but they're still making a loss of, 222. Anyway, they did receive this money, so it's an accounting thing. It's essentially, they've not lost any money, but for 2024, the figures won't be as good. So the changes to 2024 figures, end of year, are revenue drops to 5.7 million euros. Sorry, from 5.7 to 4.6. And net profit drops from zero, they're going to break even, to an 800K loss. 800K, that's euros, that is. But like I said, as they receive the payment, there's no real worry. Now, if 2025 can be relied on without any further delays, Windar are forecast to make net profit of 3.8 million. This is from minus 800K. This would put them on a PE of 13, which is not too bad for a company with this growth, if it materializes. They've got cash because they raised 5.5 million in December at 40 pence. So, yeah, they do have, the broker has really positive growth posted, not only for 25, but 26 as well. They expect to do 66% growth top line to 20 million and almost double profit, or profit before, or net profit is going to go up by 81% to 6.9 million, which would put them on a PE of 7 at the current share price. So, if they pull this off, that's impressive growth and impressive in both, well, revenue, top line, and profits. But, so they are prone to delays, so who knows? It won't be that smooth. But nevertheless, there's some big forecast figures there on the growth side. So maybe worth a look. Ticker is WPHO. But is it all hot air? See what I did there? Okay. That's it for the podcast. Thanks very much for listening. By all means, visit sharepickers.com and become part of the club. Or if you like the podcast, sorry, it was a bit, I did bang on a bit today. I don't know, I'm hot. I've got to open the doors in this office. My mouth is very dry. Sometimes, if this is a first time listener, it's better than this. Is it? Not really. But by all means, give us a rating and review if you could. Go to Apple or wherever you are. And if you give it a 5-star rating and review, I'll give you a free book. How's about that then? I hope you have a lovely weekend. It's going to be sun and storms. apart from in Scotland, apparently I would look at the weather forecast, it's raining up there. But it's raining here tonight as well. Very heavy. That's the way it should be. Very heavy, but not a long period of time. So you water the garden and plants, and then in the morning, sun comes out. Perfect! Anyway, have a nice weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.